Good morning, church. I say that with intention because we are still the church and we can still worship together. This week, I'm going to talk about faith, and that is not by accident, so do not adjust your TV screens. You are not in last week. Right now, more than ever, if you didn't notice it before, now it is more evident that your faith will be tested in this time. We are, what do we got? Our numbers? 329 are viewing in. 329 different homes, different devices are streaming for this service. So we are still the church. I did want to mention, too, even for Bible class, we had 136 as opposed to our 77, I believe, from last week. So we were extremely excited about that, excited that that we can offer this type of a streaming service, but that also we're still joining in. You are still actively participating in worship. And so we are encouraged by that. So back to faith, we are constantly being bombarded right now, and I think that we are all in a position where we can say our faith is being tested. Whether you're considered an essential employee, maybe you're still going to work and you're nervous, you're unsure of what the future may hold for you, what others are saying that you should or shouldn't do, what the dangers are. Also, whether you're at home and you're trying homeschooling for the very first time, I think two things will be said when this is all over. One, teachers have been for quite some time underappreciated, and I think now more than ever that is evident. Number two, no one's ever going to doubt a homeschooling family. They are superheroes. They are the principal, the counselor, the nurse, the teacher, the math teacher, all of that. So some of you are finding that out and also finding out that you're having to spend more time with your family that you didn't originally anticipate. And so maybe your faith is being tested that way. Or maybe you're just concerned. Maybe you're at the retirement age and you're concerned about what the media is telling us. Again, what we should be concerned about, even going to the grocery store, is it worth it? Is it necessary? Am I going to be safe? So there are many different things warring for our attention right now. And as far as faith goes, some of you are learning how to stretch out the food that's in the pantry. Well, I don't want to make too many unnecessary trips to the grocery store, so I'm going to make this work. What can we stretch out? And I can tell you right now, it takes a lot of faith to be eating some of these things. I got a few here for us. There's some an easy one. There's some cornbread. So if you run out of the certain key ingredients, this is your. You can. We got some cornbread here. We've also got some Vienna O's. That's a delicacy somewhere, I'm sure. We've also got a corn dog casserole. Now, I'll leave this one up extra long. I know there may be some requests for this. I don't have the actual recipe for this, but I'm pretty sure you can take an educated guess. There will be no judging. If we see this at the next fellowship meal, we want any of these meals. We won't say anything. We're just going to let it go, and we're going to blame it on the corona. This one here, that's the one that kind of got me a little bit. Creme de la Vienna. Now, these are titled by myself, they just seem fitting. So that one right there, I'm just gonna leave that one. That says it all. And then we have banana chiladas. For those of you, I've seen a few Facebook posts about needing to get back out to that Mexican restaurant. Here's a nice little to get you by until you can get back out there. Not sure how that's gonna taste, but some of you are learning faith in a different way. But this morning, I want to talk about what faith is. A few different points about what faith can be for us if we utilize it, what the scriptures say about faith, and how it can get us through difficult times. Faith can overcome fear if we learn to use it. If we train ourselves to grow in faith, We exercise that faith. We grow, and in turn, we can withstand those trials and those tests. First thing is a shield. Faith can be our shield, and Scripture tells us that it is our shield. We are to take up the shield of faith. In Ephesians, in the 6th chapter, it says, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the enemy." So these darts, we have to know what they are. So being in the Scripture and knowing what God calls sin is important for us. We know what to guard from, and we need to know who the enemy is, because the enemy doesn't stop because of COVID-19. The enemy does not abide by executive orders telling him to stay at home. The enemy is using this opportunity, maybe now more than ever, when we are physically separated, and some hold on to the physical so much that they're losing or their faith may be wavering at this time because of the separation. And so what a perfect opportunity for the enemy to sweep in if we're not joining in. And that's why it's so encouraging. And we want to let you know how many people are tuning in, because you'll hear it said now more than ever, and it'll be said again next week. But as we are separated spiritually, we are united. At this time right now, we're united in learning more about God and worshiping and praising Him and giving thanks for the blessings that we receive. And so also, now more than ever, the enemy is going to attack. And so we need to take up that shield of faith, to be in the Bible, to immerse ourselves in the Word to the point where we'll be ready and prepared when those attacks do come. Whether there's a pandemic or a flood that we all just went through, it seems like we just got over that, and now we've got a pandemic. A few years back, we had a tornado that came through and caused a lot of devastation. Whatever it is, the enemy will use those opportunities to attack the church. And we need to be prepared for those attacks. We're in a society right now as a whole that is starting even more and more, and it's gotten worse over the generations, but is starting to call good what God has deemed as sin. And so we need to know what the enemy's tactics are, whether subtly trying to change what the world is saying is good. We need to be aware and be in the Bible to know what God tells us we need to stay away from. Faith is also a sacrifice. Sometimes we're called to sacrifice our comforts and sacrifice our time. We've been really inspired, and the church has been blessed with the Pathfinder group that has offered their services. For any of you who have taken part in that, you will know what a blessing that is. If you are concerned about getting out, or maybe you can't, they've offered their services to help you out in this time. And so that's a sacrifice on their part, because they are putting themselves out there, as they even mention, the group themselves, that, you know, they are younger, and the risk is less for them. And so they're willing to take that on to help out other members of the church. And in doing for others that way, we are doing for God. And so we're really blessed to have them and have their commitment to that. And so again, just a plug for them. If you need something, you can contact Tom Cotting or that group, and they can help you if you have needs as far as supplies, and then they can arrange that. We sacrifice the worldly things so we can gain the spiritual things. Right now, we're sacrificing our physical meeting, and you may be saying, "Well, I don't believe in all this. It's a bunch of hooey, and this isn't going to affect me, and I'd rather just be meeting." And right now, there are some who there's a genuine concern. There are medical professionals who are telling us, to stop this peak and to flatten the curve, as you've heard probably 30 times just today. We are sacrificing that physical meeting so that way we can essentially still protect the church and keep it whole. And so as you sacrifice that, you're still able to view and to worship from home, and we're thankful for that opportunity. Faith is also a walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We're not called to sit by sight. So though we are separated here, this is not a call to go and sit at home and we take a break from our job as being a Christian, and being a Christian will resume when we get back together. That is definitely not the case. It's been said before, and we preach it and we believe it, that we are the church, not the building. The building is not the church. It's the people. It's God's kingdom of believers. And because we are the church, we keep going. Where are we at? Where we're at. We talk about reaching out to the community and shining our light to the community. We still have that opportunity. Whether you're checking on fellow neighbors who you think may need help, may be down or may be in need of services or groceries or prescriptions or what have you, we still, now more than ever, have an opportunity to reach out and show God's love to the people around us. And it's not time to take a break from being a Christian. If it was in the enemy headlines, right now we have stay safe, safer at home, stay at home, don't go to work, and if you have to work, please work from home, other non-essentials, don't even go. The enemy would love to send out breaking news, Christians, take a break, stay at home, do your own thing. Christianity is taking a break right now, but that is definitely not the case. His ways are not our ways, so a faith is a walk. We need to be walking towards that fellowship with Jesus Christ. We need to forget our ways, and we need to be vigilant, and we need to be prepared, be in His Word. As we had mentioned in the Bible class, we need to be in prayer more. We've always said, if we just had more time, I could do these things for God. Well, we're given that opportunity at this point in time. So rather than see it as something to drag us down or let the enemy win over us, win this fight, we need to utilize this time to grow ourselves, to grow our faith. And speaking of fight, faith is a fight. We know that in 1 Timothy in chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the confession, the good confession, in the presence of many witnesses." Fight the good fight. No one ever said, there's not a scripture that said Christianity was going to be easy and that you could just float through life and everything was going to go your way. So again, just like I mentioned earlier, we need a shield because the enemy is going to attack. We can fight back through our prayer, through our fellowship, through reading God's Word and strengthening ourselves. We will be prepared for that fight. And faith can be an uphill climb. Sometimes you have to just fight just to get through the day. The world is getting you down, the difficulties that we're facing. You know, you may be hanging in the balance as far as your job goes right now because times are uncertain. But we encourage you to be trusting in God. Don't allow your faith to be wavered. A wavering faith will oftentimes lose a fight before it even begins. There's a famous quote from Muhammad Ali, and he can be argued as one of the greatest boxers of all time. But I liked what he had said, what he was quoted for, and he says, "The fight is won or lost far away from witnesses, behind the lines, in the gym, and out there on the road, long before I dance under those lights." For some, the battle that you're facing right now has already been won or lost in the past, in the preparation and in the training. If there was a lack of training, if there wasn't any preparation for a fight, just like we want soldiers to be trained and prepared, those who fight for our freedoms and through wars in the past, they had training. They were prepared for a battle. So if we go through life not training and not preparing when the battle does face and we're faced with an enemy, whatever it is, whether it be, like I had mentioned, a flood, a tornado, a pandemic, a loss of a loved one, a disease, whatever it is that we face, if we decide once the battle has started to then begin training and building up and working on our faith, the chances don't look good. Faith is also a trial. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. True faith is tested and tried. It's been said before, we talk about, Elliot has talked in the past about exercising your trust muscle. Faith can be built up. We need to build up our faith. Our faith can grow. Like we mentioned earlier in class, when you look back at prayers that you have sent to God and prayed to God, when those are answered, our faith is built up. So are we actively looking for God to be working in our life, to be building us up, and to build up our faith when we see our prayers answered? Be looking for that. I was talking to someone about riding a motorcycle, and one of the things that had come up was laying the bike down, and how often does it happen? Have you ever done it? And the saying came out, as I've heard before, but it's not a matter of if you're going to lay the bike down. It's a matter of when. And that's just this idea to be prepared for it, not to wait. If you wait until you ride, until it happens, to be prepared for laying the bike down, you're going to be in serious trouble. And in the same way, we need to not wait until the battle gets here before we decide how we're going to handle a curve that life may throw at us. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we know that it says, count all joy when you face trials of many kinds. The test of our faith equals perseverance. And also later on in that same chapter, he says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. And we know that they will receive the crown of life. Right now, we are in a test. You may be in a trial, some more severe than others. Some are just ready for this thing to be done, and life hasn't really changed at all. But some are going through trials right now, and I would encourage you, hold tight, stand fast, contact the church. You can contact other members, be texting each other, reach out, be that accountability for someone else, for you, for those who are not having any issues and things seem fine. Text a brother or sister, text somebody from the congregation, or call them and check up on them and make sure they're good, because there are those who are struggling and it's difficult for them right now. So we need to continue to build each other up. Faith is also patient. This one may seem like it's the most difficult to learn at times, but if there were two things right now that we could use more of, it would be faith and patience. We're told, wait for 2 weeks. We're told, wait for a month. Is this going to go on? How long is this going to go on? We get stir crazy, cabin fever. We want to just go out and have freedom and do things. And right now we're in a period where we need to be patient. But again, patience does not mean just sit around and not do anything and wait for this to blow over. Sometimes faith takes time. Families are spending a lot more time together now than they have been in the past, and I'm sure we could all use a little bit of extra patience right now with those that we love. But maybe you're waiting and you're praying for a better job. Maybe you're praying for a loved one to get better or to be healed with a sickness or disease. You may even know someone who has this coronavirus or another disease. And I would remind you that patience is not waiting to be healed, because to be real about it, we're never promised that everyone is going to be healed of their problems. And if you're a Christian, that automatically diseases will not affect you. We live in the consequences of a fallen world that is rampant and full of sin and death. And we are blessed because the sacrifice has been made by Christ so that we can trust in the spiritual and not the physical. But patience is not being happy until you're healed. Patience is fully trusting in God to carry you spiritually through whatever trial you may face. God's grace has been extended down to us from heaven. And our faith responds by reaching out to that hope of salvation. That is where we put our trust. That is where our faith lies. Not in the physical, not in being well physically. We need to be thinking about being well spiritually. And that strong and tough faith. Maybe you're one right now that has really strong faith and you need to reach out to somebody else. Maybe you're one that is struggling and your faith may be wavering. You also need to reach out to those members, those spiritual powerhouses, as we might call them, and ask them to go to God in prayer for you. Regardless of whether the physical is healed or improved, you know, last time I had preached a couple times ago, I had preached on hanging by a thread and what happens when we put our trust in the physical instead of the spiritual, and how those physical things can just be hanging in the balance. And I was not aware that that was going to be happening right now. But even if you place your trust in the physical and even patiently wait, hoping in the physical is not what's going to be carrying you through. Because if all your hope and all your trust is put there, when that fails, then where are you left? But even in that time of patiently waiting with Christ, if that doesn't fail and your faith is in Christ, then you're still on solid ground. So just a recap, faith is the shield for us when the enemy attacks. Faith is a sacrifice of the physical to gain the spiritual. We need a faith that's walking in the light as he is in the light, not a faith that is complacent and lazy. We need a faith that is going to stand up to the fight, that's going to go toe-to-toe with the enemy that, I remind you, has already been defeated. We don't have to worry about a battle being won spiritually. Christ has already defeated death and sin. We need a faith that endures through the trials that we go through. When the going gets tough, our faith should allow us to rejoice in the promises of God. And a faith that is patient, trusting in God in the good times and trusting in God in the bad times. Because no matter how hard things get in this life, we have something to look forward to. I want to end with this scripture. This is a difficult time that we live in right now. As many have said, it's an uncharted territory. We're unsure of what's next. We don't have anything to base this off of, so we don't know how things are going to progress. But there is one thing that we do know. In Romans in chapter 8, 16 through 18 are the verses. It says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Church, you are children of the Most High God, who can carry us spiritually through any physical tragedy, danger, pandemic, concern that we have. We can take comfort and refuge in that. And in these times, I would encourage you to reach out, to be that accountability partner, to continue to grow your faith. Because being a Christian isn't a job that you just can get laid off from or told not to come to work. Being a Christian is an essential job, as they would claim it. We are in this fight together. And if there's anything that you need that we can help you with as a church, we are still here. You can call us, reach out to your members, keep that contact, stay connected. We are going to have one more song before we dismiss, and then some announcements following that.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got me and me, brother, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.